Welcome to More with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLand.com. Today, actually, I'm sorry, guys. It's not like a normal day. Mr. Richard Avery chose not to come to Las Vegas, Nevada for the Adult Entertainment Expo and AVN Awards because, quite frankly, he hates it. So I am all here on my own doing this. You may notice my voice is a little raspy. It's day four here at AVN 2015, so we'll bear through this. So today, we're not even in a studio. We're in my hotel room in the casino tower of the Hard Rock Hotel. But today I brought in a person who has been working very hard over the past few days because she is a PR person that deals in the adult industry. So my guest today is Kelly Shabari.
Hello.
Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to my room.
Yes.
And I apologize because Alex Chance performs and signs. The room looks like a porn star threw up in it.
Well, it's actually kind of funny because I was wondering why you had all these high heel shoes. I thought maybe this was a fetish of yours.
It could be. It could be. I mean, I like, there's the dildos, the random jewelry, the steamer.
The steamer.
The steamer. That's that's quality right there.
Oh, absolutely.
So you've been here for a number of days now.
Yes.
And so what have you been up to?
You know, this is a year where this is kind of wrapping up a really heavy year for me performing and directing and producing on top of all the PR work I've been doing for the past 5 years. So it's been chaotic only in that I'm trying to do 8 different things at one time. And luckily this year I didn't have to man a booth or sign anywhere, but that means I get stopped on the hallway. You know, so I'm trying to run to an interview and I've got like 8 people like every 5 feet going, "Hey, are you Kelly Shabari? And will you pose for me?" Which yesterday was kind of hard because I was like in my not porn star getup. So I was like, no photographs, but I'll say hi. And I'm very approachable and I'm a social media whore and people talk to me all the time. So, I feel weird if I don't say hi back and I give them a hug. So,
oh, of course.
Yeah. So, but on top of that, I've been doing all the PR work kind of behind the scenes. So in the morning, I get up around 5:30, 6 o'clock, deal with all my PR clients who are not here because they're mostly novelty companies. Mm-hmm. And then also working with Lainey Spicer, who is a publicist for performers based out of New York. But she handles New York and East Coast and West Coast talent. And they're all here. So I handle all of the writing of her press releases and the wire services for her while she's running around like a chicken with her head cut off, you know, trying to keep her patience level, you know, because performers, they all have very specific needs, especially during a convention. Like, "Hey, can you go to CVS and get me a douche?" And she's like, "That's not really what a publicist does, but okay."
Sure, why not? Now, so you're not wrangling kittens, as I like to call it this
time,
right?
Not for this show. This show has been more about me as a performer, mainly because I've done some really big projects this year. But starting Monday, I'm right back to the grind doing PR work.
Now, when you do PR for the adult industry, and obviously you're doing for novelties,
yes.
What goes into that to be able to advertise to a market that is, you know, adult? It's not just, you can't advertise to Walmart.
Right. Well, it's you know, for me, my background is very strong in social media. So a lot of novelty companies will leverage the fact that I have a fan base, and it's a fan base that's made up mostly of adult consumers. So I found that it was a really easy segue. I've already kind of have a business background and a marketing background. I used to be a production designer in mainstream Hollywood before I got into porn. So, you know, I've always worked in like product placement into films. And so I've always been working on like the publicity angle and like the visibility and branding angle of products, even before I got into porn. And so the segue was really easy. And so for me, it's taking, a product that is specifically for the adult market and making sure that people know that, one, it exists, two, that it's awesome, and three, making sure that the people that it's intended for, because different novelty products are for different segments of the consumers. You know, there are some products that are specifically for men and some are specifically for the GLBT crowd, and making sure that those groups know that the product exists and then know where they can get the product.
Sure. Now, do you do any work with Fleshlight?
It's kind of interesting because about 3 years ago at this point, Fleshlight was nice enough to offer me a limited edition plus size Fleshlight. It's the only Fleshlight that they offered that was plus size.
Oh.
But it was really only available for a season. But it's part of my overall story. So I still have people, you know, it's kind of like Penthouse. Like, once you've been a Penthouse pet or once you've been a Playboy bunny, you're always that, even though mm-hmm. you're no longer. And so for me, I've always thought that even though my Fleshlight was only available for 3 or 4 months, I'm still technically kind of a Fleshlight girl, you know, even though people can't buy my or buy my stuff anymore.
Well, the reason why I asked is a couple months ago, Angela White,
yes.
who is one of the new Fleshlight girls.
Yeah, and she's Australian. The year,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so I had her on and we talked about how it went, how it was made, all mm-hmm. this type of stuff. So I told her, I was like, you know, I want to fuck your ass.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay. So I want to get a hold of Fleshlight because mm-hmm. I actually want to do a review. I've never yeah. used any kind of toy like that. Uh-huh. And I want to do a review of, I've interviewed the girl. I know the girl. I find the girl attractive. We've talked about your product. I now know what your product is. I actually want to do a review
right.
for my, you know, for my blog. Yeah. So I'm trying to pick up with them. Now, do you consider that a good PR idea?
I think so. I think especially if you're able to, you know, you're not a performer. Are you?
Well, technically, I like to call myself barely male talent because okay. A small percentage of my body is what shows up on camera, right. but I've done, I think, 65 BJ scenes.
I think that what would be great, because I don't think I've seen it, mm-hmm. is a comparison between the real thing and the Fleshlight.
Actually, funny enough, the last movie I did on my Asian series, mm-hmm. Asian Mouth Club, I had Asa Akira, and she's the box cover. So I thought it would be to do a fun mouth-on-mouth comparison,
right.
but do it in a funny way where it's the, not to give out all my secrets, but go through and go, and my comparison is it's not doesn't blow me quite as well as Asa did, mm-hmm. but it has a better personality and doesn't talk as much. You know, and try and play it
right.
off like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, and here's going into a review thing. Mm-hmm. If a company, and I don't know how much you deal with reviews, but a company sends out a product that they want somebody to try, they want yeah. you to try that, what is the risk level of that person coming back and going, this was a piece of shit, I don't think people should buy it?
Well, I'm a big fan of reviews in general, both for sex toy products and, you know, adult novelties, but as well as like my own performances and my directing work. And I think that even the bad reviews is R&D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was one of the companies I worked with last year was Hot Octopus that makes a male masturbation product called Pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of looks like a gray silicone taco that you put your penis in. And it's kind of like a magic wand for your cock, where it can start from a flaccid state. And I've used it on my boyfriend. And it starts from a flaccid state. And the vibrations make it hard. And if you keep it there long enough, you will ejaculate, you know, but it was also intended to be a couple's product, and there were, you know, the buttons are actually on the device.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a remote. There were a couple of little things that were lacking in the original. And so they came out with the Pulse 2, which just won, an XBIZ award mm-hmm. last week. And it's kind of a direct result of, you know, reviews
mm-hmm.
and not just from the like sex toy, professional sex toy reviewers, but also from customers.
Sure.
And so I think that companies that just make one product and just put it out, or, you know, they make one line of products and then put it out and then they don't do any R&D, they're almost shooting themselves in the foot. So having reviewers, even if it's a bad review,
mm-hmm.
If it then turns into a new and improved product, then I don't think it's a bad thing.
From what I've seen in the industry, there's a number of PR people in mm-hmm. the industry.
Absolutely.
And we're huge. We're a huge industry, but in the PR world, it's not such a big,
right.
It's such a big market. So how do you separate yourself out from the other PR people that are out there?
Yeah. I mean, I've always said that every publicist offers something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of doing your own research and going, okay, this is what I'm trying to look for in a publicist. A lot of companies actually have their own in-house director of marketing and director of PR, so they don't necessarily need to hire an outside publicist.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that, you know, every publicist offers something different. If you are a girl who are, you know, if you're a performer and you're just getting into the industry and you don't know anybody, there are certain publicists that are good for that. You know, they have their list of radio shows and agencies that they can send you to for go-sees, and you can sign at specific conventions that they already have arrangements with to increase visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some publicists that are really great at you know, doing the crossover sex education thing. And then there are, you know, publicists that only handle, you know, sex toys or some publicists that only handle social media. you know, and then people like Lainey Spizer, who was formerly the publicist for Penthouse. Mm-hmm. And she's independent now, but she lives in New York. She deals with the Penthouse people on a regular basis. And so a lot of girls, especially from the West Coast, who want to do New York events, like there's Exotica in Jersey every year. Sure. If they want to do the New York media circuit, if they want to get some exposure by pitching themselves to a magazine like Penthouse, Lainey's a great choice. Mm-hmm. You know, Black and Blue Media, which is located in Los Angeles, is really good at getting DVDs to reviewers and kind of doing the follow-up and submitting for nominations and things like that. So I think that every, Stunner PR, which is Mike Coolidge's company, they're great at shock PR. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be on TMZ, sure. You know, if you want to be on HuffPo Weird News, you know, like he's great for that. I think that every publicist is different. And I think that, you know, a company shouldn't just go with like the least expensive or the most expensive because, you know, they think that because they're more expensive that you get more value. Mm-hmm. It's less that, and it's more seeing what they actually offer and see if it fits with what your product is. And then it's also okay if you run the circuit, you know, you try one publicist and then, you know, like especially if you're like an up and coming performer and you work with like that beginning level publicist and then you move on to a bigger PR company that has different context. You know, I think that that's okay, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Now, do you believe, I have to drop Alex's name in pretty much every fucking episode of my show. And she had a PR person before, and she did it for a period of time. And I believe she did for about 6 months.
Right.
And she did get that publicity. She did get that type of thing. But at some point, there's a balance between the amount you pay and then the actual benefit that you get back. What do you see the benefits of having a PR person beyond you're a brand new girl or you have you changed your look, you changed something.
Right.
What is the benefit and how long of a period do you think it would be necessary to hire a PR person to get your name back out there?
I really think that it really is based on what you consider your brand. You know, like if you're a girl, like when Alex Chance had, you know, her publicist for the 6 months, that's the person I was talking about if you're a girl who's coming into the industry and you're new and nobody knows you, the publicist that Alex had is great for that, you know? But at a certain point, you kind of like, you graduate from that to a larger PR firm that maybe has different contacts. And I think that, part of the onus on a performer or a sex toy company is to keep growing and not just being just, I'm a performer, end of story, end of sentence, period, full stop. I think that what's important is to figure out at some point, especially for performers that want longevity, to figure out what their brand is. What is it that they are? What is it that, you know, are they just naked? You know, is that all it is to them? You know, for girls who are like 18, 19, who don't really have a lot of worldly experience, they don't know where their place in the world is, it might just be that for a while. But I think that at a certain point, if you want to stay in the industry for a long time, you know, you have to do kind of like what Jessica Drake does, where she's a Wicked contract girl. And so she's a performer and she's like, you know, female performer of the year. And she wins all these awards for her performing work. But then she has transitioned into being a director and then she's transitioned into being a sex educator. In my case, I started off immediately as a plus size Asian performer, but I've also transitioned into, you know, the PR and the marketing and doing a little bit of sex education. And I've been like, you know, the face of nerdy, nerdy, dorky, plus size porn.
And I have to say, because obviously this is audio, she has the cutest little, I don't want to say nerdy glasses, but
no, they're
kind of
nerd glasses.
Yeah, they're very cute. And it fits her very well.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you have to figure out what your brand is. And it has to be a brand that you're comfortable doing and that it comes easily to you. Like if I was a plus size performer who is nerdy, but I decided that for one, you know, one day I woke up and I was like, I want to be, you know, a hardcore anal performer. And that's what I want to be known for, like Asa Akira.
Sure.
Right. But I don't enjoy, I mean, I enjoy small toys and like a finger. I'm not enjoying like large male porno penises in my butt. It would be the wrong branding for me. You know, and so, you know, if you're Girl Next Door, then that's your brand. If you're into cosplay like Tanya Tate, then that's your brand.
Yes.
Like you have to figure out what your brand is. And once you figure that out, then you can actually, that's where the crossover stuff happens.
Sure. You know. And I see a lot of, I know Tanya does a lot of that with the cosplay, yeah. and I think she's done very well. April O'Neil, a performer, yeah. she's kind of lived the lifestyle of I'm a nerd, mm-hmm. and she was into Doctor Who and things like that. And she's a friend, and I think that she's played that well. And I know some girls have gone on, I'm a gamer girl, I'm right. a certain thing. I know the weed, and I give such a hard time, and some of my friends do this, is, you know, the girl, I wanted to give an award to the girl that has tweeted the most about their blunts and their dogs.
Yes. Ella Darling. The thing.
Exactly.
Like interesting categories for porn awards.
It was real porn awards. And actually I put a blog post on because as I'm sitting there, okay, let's go. I was on the toilet and as I read through and it said, I forget the exact same, but it was basically real best BJ during a Xanax haze.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, this is going to be good. And so I chimed in with about 15 of them, and I felt about 5 of mine were actually funny.
Yeah.
But that is something that took Ella, who is a known performer, mm-hmm. but not, she's not the big publicity girl. She doesn't. Right. That took her and ran. People, that was hilarious. And people ran.
And she's super nerdy, and she's a huge Harry Potter
huge.
Fan.
I had her on the show, former librarian.
Right, she actually has a master's in library sciences.
She told us about, she was in a sideshow.
Yes.
And so she can do, and so she was an amazing guest. Yeah, I really liked her.
And when she, you know, when she first started, up until recently, she was only a girl-girl performer. So if you were a girl-girl porn fan, then you knew who Ella was, but mm-hmm. not if you were like a hardcore boy-girl, you know, sex scene fan.
Sure.
Because you never saw her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did the PR for her when she announced her boy-girl transition. It was just a one-off. Mm-hmm. It was just one press release, just to make the announcement for her. You know, and we've gotten her, she's actually coming on a game show, like a comedy sex-positive game show at the end of the month in Los Angeles. Where the game show is actually my client.
Okay.
You know, so, and that's kind of what happens is, you know, we don't just handle sex toys and just handle performers. There's all these like other kind of fringe, slightly crossover things that do reach out to adult publicists because they know mainstream won't pick it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so we get those requests from time to time. And for AVN, for her appearance and her signings here, because that's not necessarily what I do because I don't usually handle performers, mm-hmm. Tanya Tate's company. You know, Star Factory PR
exactly. Star
is,
Factory,
is
yes.
handling her appearances and her signing in that press room, you know. And again, some of the best publicists in the business are the ones that collaborate. You know, mm-hmm. like when I started working with a comedy show, they do one show a month. I immediately reached out to Star Factory and Rising Star and said, hey, this is the show. Do you have any of your clients who are interested in being in the show? It's just once a month. We need two people. And I think the best publicists are the ones that do reach out to other publicists and go, hey, I know you're good at this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a client that does this. Can you help us with this? And that will help you too.
Exactly. You know? And I think that is a big thing in the industry yeah. where we have to, you know, work together.
Yeah, I think the publicists that don't collaborate and they're very kind of insulated and don't want to, you know, out of, you know, I don't know, fear of losing a client or whatever, you know, people that do that tend to not have as much success as the ones that do. You know, but yeah, I mean, I'm doing this comedy show. I would love to reach out to Erica and go, hey, look, any of your girls.
Anybody who wants to come and do it.
It's a paid gig, pays $200. I actually should have Alex on the show.
She's,
you know, and she'd be funny.
No, she's a pretty funny girl.
And
she doesn't find me funny anymore. But, okay.
But because of that, like, I'd love to reach out because, you know, we all have different strengths.
Sure.
And we all have different clients. And if we all are able to work together, then we all win and we all do well.
Of course. You know? Of course. Yeah. So, Kelly, I've branded myself and with the help of Richard Avery mm-hmm. A few years ago. Let's start back. I'm a Twitter whore.
Right.
Although 5 years ago I said I would never use Twitter because I thought it was the stupidest thing ever.
A lot of people have gone through that.
And I went through that and I found Twitter used to be a lot more conservative and wouldn't allow yes. nude photos. And I was on set and I'd tweet photos. And at one point in time there was like sexy, all these little companies popped up to where you can yes. put nude.
Yeah.
And then I realized I can create a little blog and I had a friend and I'll put all my nude stuff on there.
Right. And then people can come to you.
Exactly.
Right.
And I never really thought anything of it. I didn't have Google Analytics. I didn't have anything. It was right. just a fun thing. And then somebody said, you know, this branding is actually pretty good. And then Richard Avery over at Julieland said, you got a good thing going here. Yeah. Let's revamp your blog. He brought me, I was the first guy that was brought into mm-hmm. his world. And so he helped me set up the brand. As a guy who is sometimes performer, kind of behind the scenes right. person, does a little bit of everything. Do you think this branding works? Is this something that you would how would you, let's get some free advice, how would you say you could expand, or that I could expand my market further to publicize myself besides what you've seen me do?
Well, okay, so when I first started on Twitter, you know, a friend of mine who, you know, who had come across Twitter, and at the time I was on MySpace, you know, because all the girls, especially...
Everybody was MySpace.
Right, everybody was MySpace, and at a certain point, like, especially with plus-size girls, we don't have agents, you know, and we don't really make enough money to kind of have a publicist from
month
to month.
What? You're not rich?
No, well, most porn stars, really, you know, unless you're a contract star somewhere, you're not really all that well
off. I hear the contract girls don't do as well as everybody thinks they do either.
But, you know, probably not as well as they did in the 90s, but, you know, contract girls know that they're going to make a certain amount of money every month. And, you know, and so, like, the first 6 months or so that I was trying out Twitter, I was doing it like you think you should be doing it, which is you post sexy photos every day and try to drive traffic to your website or to a DVD that's come out. And frankly, because I'm older, I think that just really bored me after a while. And so I just said, you know what, I'm just going to start talking about, like, stuff, mm-hmm. just my nerdy stuff. Like, I love Star Wars. I love, you know, TV shows. I love nerdy, you know, comic books and things like that. So I just started talking about that. And then the fans started interacting with me in a much more comfortable way. And then what happened was some of the, you know, the MSNBC, CNBC kind of social media gurus of the time, and they still kind of are, who are mainstream. They're the ones that, you know, the cable channels call as experts on social media when that was like the emerging thing. They pulled me aside and said, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "I don't know. What am I doing?" And they said, "Well, out of all the porn stars, you're doing it right, and nobody else seems to understand social media properly. Come hang with us." So I got to hang out with like the social media, like, you know, the social media Lottie, you know, mm-hmm. they're like the glitterati of social
exactly.
media for a while. And I got to learn from them, you know, and Twitter and Facebook, you know, Facebook is still much like Twitter was back in the day where nudity is not allowed.
Very conservative.
Twitter has gotten extremely liberal in that, you know, they kind of allow everything except, you know, very specific things.
No, I, from what I understand, that some girls have had their accounts not deleted but put on hold.
Yeah.
And the advice that it looked like they had given is banners and profile pics can't have nudity.
Yeah, they banners don't... and profile pics. And then also, you know, it is a community moderated setup. I think at a certain point they started allowing nudity because there were just too many people in the porn industry as well as civilians, you mm-hmm. know, the people who aren't in the business, were starting to post selfies of, you know, them being nude. And Twitter just grew too big for them to moderate every single one of those. And so now it's really just, you know, if there is something that is overtly violent mm-hmm. or overtly threatening or overtly, something that is detrimental to somebody else's brand, especially if that other brand is a celebrity, mm-hmm. Then enough people telling Twitter that account needs to be handled, we'll shut it down. So, you know, but I think what's really important, especially like in the case of your blog, is if you have, like, I'm a big fan of hashtags, mm-hmm. but not to the point where, you know, like Saturday Night Live made a joke about hashtags, you know, you can hashtag everything.
Exactly.
You just need to be very specific about the kind of hashtags that people will actually search for. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to like SEO keywords. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're never going to hashtag the,
exactly.
you know, you're never going to hashtag girl. Because there's so many girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Why hashtag the word girl? Nobody's going to be searching for girl. But if you're, say, for instance, you know, doing a blog post about Alex's shoes, then you can do hashtag foot fetish. Mm-hmm. You know, because then people might actually be looking for foot fetish stuff.
Specifically, yeah.
Right. And so, like, for that, that will actually help drive more traffic.
I do the average Mo,
yeah.
and then I have my Mo of the day, which right. I do a hashtag, and then also I have Mo on the go, because pretty much if I can attach my name to it, I will.
Right, and that actually is really good branding in that people recognize it, they look for it, if they want to see past episodes, especially if you've interviewed other girls, mm-hmm. and they are at a convention, they haven't been able to check your feed
yep.
to find their interview when you posted it, they can actually just type in Mo on the go or
yep.
you know, the
or they
Mo.
Can see it and click it and then they'll see the other. I just had Odette Delacroix on mm-hmm. my show and just recently, actually at this time the show is on theaveragemo.com and it's episode 69 and it was interesting. It just happened to work right. out that way and she talked about her new website and it was interesting to see one of her fans said, "Oh, I'm listening to another episode." And then you said, "Hey, listen to the Asa Akira episode. It's really funny."
Right.
So they build on each one. Somebody's somebody small niche may go, oh, I want to look into this. So it's been a very fun experiment. Yeah. And it's one of those things of I don't make any money off my blog. Right. And I put more time into it than I do anything
else.
But
it's still branding. I'm a big believer, and I do a lot of stuff that doesn't really pay out like immediately. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of kind of cross-promotion collaboration type projects that I do because, one, it's interesting or fun or kind of fills my bucket list, but also meets my branding requirements. Because, like, say for instance, Penthouse Forum. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get paid for that. That was an interview. And then I provided the photos. Actually, Eddie Powell provided the photos mm-hmm. from Big Girls Are Sexy 4. And, you know, but the branding was so great. And because exactly. of that, like, people like Margaret Cho found me. You know, so, and then that turned into a photo shoot, which then turns into other things. So, yeah, I think that, you know, doing things, even if it doesn't make you money immediately, eventually the branding pays off.
It's good advertising. Yeah. Well, Kelly, I appreciate you coming up to my room and doing this interview, and I appreciate everybody listening. Where can your fans and future clients and everyone find you?
I've been saying for 5 years that I'm extremely stalker friendly. So if you go to Kelly Shabari, you can Google me. You probably find all my social media, but Twitter, Facebook mainly, mm-hmm. K-E-L-L-Y. Most people kind of don't know how the Kelly is spelled.
Sure.
So it's K-E-L-L-Y-S-H-I-B-A-R-I.
Perfect. Well, thank you for coming in. My name is Mo Reese. This has been More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at Mo Trell. Wow, listen to that. I am tired. You can find me on Twitter at Mo Triple X, or at Mox, as some people like to call me, and as my shirt now currently says. You can also check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can see all sorts of photos, videos, and you can listen to this show. Thanks for listening.